two German space missions from the time of the Third Reich are said to have taken off in the second half of April 1945. One is said to concern the 71-meter spaceship Hornbuch-II thought to Mars. The other is the 45-meter spaceship Odin to Aldebaran. A few excerpts from the transmedia protocols of the Vril Society will now be given about the flight to Aldebaran through the dimensional channel. Transmedia fragments from Vril Odin. The following texts can be described as the most important and best preserved transmedia broadcasts from Vril Odin. They are all fragments, which together certainly only represent a small part of what was originally available. The arrangement is not certain and large passages are certainly missing in many places. The numbering was nevertheless carried out in order to simplify further work with the texts. Such a numbering is not indicated on the templates. The texts were largely translated word for word without consideration of stylistic aspects. They were certainly formulated by different people and essentially broadcast by the media as they were. Transmedia broadcast by Vril Odin number 1. Odin has left Mother Earth. A sudden feeling of indescribable loss has taken hold of the entire crew at the same time. There is little conversation. The Earth does not look like a school globe from the outside, but blue, light blue and white. The clouds are clearly visible, as are parts of the land, in strangely familiar outlines. But we are flying so fast that the Earth soon looks like an ever smaller ball. We did not fly around the Earth at low altitude so as not to intensify the surge of emotion. We passed the Moon relatively close, about 12,000 kilometers. It seems cold. The crew is quiet and thoughtful. It is noticeable that no one believes they will ever set foot on Earth again. Unexpected emotion. Nevertheless, everyone is correctly at their posts. Home, radio, reception is switched off, which is still working well. The crew must be distracted from their thoughts of the past. 30 gave a good speech. He has managed to bring courageous momentum back into the crew. Earth Moon is now very far away. We have shaken off our faint-hearted sentimentality. We are approaching the entry point, into the dimensional channel. 30 has established a transmedial connection to Aldebaran. The crew is hopeful again. Technically everything is running smoothly. Odin is flying without any problems. Entry, into the dimensional channel, in 7.5 hours. Transmedial broadcast from Vril Odin number 2. Meteor swarms ahead, asteroids. Guns manned as a precaution. Flying towards the meteor swarm. Evasion possible, but risky due to the computer circuit for entry, into the dimensional channel. The risk would be very high of not finding the entry point again and thus irretrievably losing the meeting point with the Aldebarans. Therefore, the order to fire on larger meteors. Relief because they are easy to shoot down. Odin can withstand the hail of space that we now have to fly through. But it is unpleasant. Several minor damages. Gun position Bertu immobile, alpha antenna broken, numerous cracks in the outer layers of armored glass. Plenty of dents and dings on the cell body. But nothing serious. Crew shaken up. Interiors various minor damages. Course maintained. Computer circuitry works perfectly. Transmedia broadcast from Vril Odin number 4 entry, into the dimensional channel, was very easy. Brief sensation like a kind of touch of numbness for all crew members. But only a few moments. Transformation happens much too quickly to understand it properly. Approximately 12 lines illegible. Greenish shimmer everywhere. Transmedia broadcast from Vril Odin number 5. Smooth flight in the channel. Sometimes we pass lighter or darker areas. Don't know if they mean anything. 30 A strange bubble floated past, like a huge greenish soap bubble. But quite far away. Transmedia broadcast from Vril Odin number 6. Greenish yellow spirals of light everywhere, almost orange in the middle. Size and distance difficult to say. Possibly several kilometers in total diameter of the spiral structure, which rotates very slowly. Perhaps the structure creates a suction when you get closer. Consider whether the spiral structure could perhaps inadvertently pull objects flying outside into the channel. The channel is not a tube, only in one direction, it is basically everywhere, so to speak. Transmedia broadcast from Reloaded number 720 in the channel, dimensional channel. Flight goes smoothly. Crew has got used to the green supercosmos. Strong feeling of speed due to the clouds and fog-like veils that are common here. Then again just the light of some green sun. Again and again floating objects that look like huge green rocks. Whole floating islands. We imagine that buildings can be seen on some of them. It is the afterlife, or at least a kind of borderland on this side of the other side. Technically no difficulties. Morale good. No, transmedia broadcast from Reloaded number 1130 started. Strange reddish and bluish clouds mix with the green. Several crew members feel nauseous. Some trans girls complain of headaches. It will soon pass. It becomes predominant again and then becomes completely green again. 30 thinks there is a possible disturbing vibration in the bell. We hear noises for the first time. Something like scraping on the cell membrane, but nothing to see. Then we see flickering clouds of dust. We fly through without any problems. Transmedia broadcast from Reloading number 12. 30-something crossed our path. Not a rocket, but something long that was perhaps just a natural formation. Is there such a thing as canal crossings slash paths? The disturbing light like pink and blue is now gone. 30 complains of headaches again. Transmedia broadcast from Reloading number 13. There's something in the way. Looks like a huge honeycomb, but different. Opened fire. Shot holes in the thing, but it stays. Shot more, aimed at the middle. The structure seems to be elastic. We can try to break through. Works without effort. The thing stays behind us. Extremely strange. 30 on the right side, then also very bright spots of light diagonally down to the left. Light green. Looks like holes in the canal. But passed without difficulty. Transmedia broadcast from Reloading number 14 since X/20/30. Green glowing flying stars have sometimes come into view. Quite far away, distance impossible to estimate. Certainly not other spaceships, but natural phenomena. Perhaps something like comets buzzing through the canal at this point. A change for the crew, because there is something to see. Transmedia broadcast from Reloading number 1530. Something like gusts of wind came up. Odin starts rocking. Very strange. Held halfway in position by counter-steering. Strange feeling. Like sea swell. But no cause can be identified. We are approaching a large, bright spot that has no particular shape. Bright, yellow-green glow. The gusts seem to be coming from there. We have to pass close to it. Brightness increases. Some crew members get ringing in their ears, others don't notice anything. The large, bright spot now looks like a giant jellyfish made of yellowish-green light. Apparently a pure light structure. Perhaps around 100 kilometers in size. Difficult to estimate. As we approach, it suddenly disappears. Or is no longer perceptible from close up. Then reappears behind us as we have passed. Flight completely calm again. The bright structure made of light now on the other side. As if our flight path is being crossed. Stays behind. Transmedia broadcast from Reloading number 16. Complete silence, the green stars now seem very far away. As if we had made a jump. The channel space appears darker to us here than before. But the stars glow greenish. Space of deep dark green. Impression of infinity. Brightness ahead again. Of course green and greenish here. A concentration of brightness. Flying towards them. Flying into the concentration of brightness. Again, typical channel feeling. Vapor-like veils pass by. Vapors sometimes thicken and sometimes are almost completely gone. Transmedia broadcast from Reloading number 18, no change. Eerie feeling. It must have been my imagination. The vapors here look different. The strange feeling is still there. Sometimes different colored shreds of clouds come. But only inside do they look different, because they somehow penetrate. Outside there are only green ones. 30 fly past something that looks almost like a wreck. It has the shape of an elongated egg with irregular holes through which something almost like frames can be seen. Transmedia broadcast by Vriloden number 19. 30 piece has come, we fly on. The familiar green clouds fly through again. Sometimes lights, like stars. Now we are slowly approaching the exit point. Helpfully everything will go well. No noticeable disruptions. Transmedia broadcast from Vriloden number 20. Exit, from the dimensional channel, successful. 30 is trying to establish an Aldebaran connection. Technically not possible due to failure of the alpha antenna. Back to our old universe. Lots of strange constellations, of course. Keeping the agreed course. Nobody is afraid. Transmedia broadcast from Vriloden number 21. The darkness here is unusual. Stars can be seen, but no sun is close enough to give light. We can see nothing except distant stars. Not even from the edge of our plate. Very strange. Everything is as dark as a bear's belly. The sun Aldebaran Sumi is still relatively far away. We will fly the rest of the way together with the Aldebarans expected in this position. Hopefully they will come soon. We are a little early, but they will probably discover us. Transmedia broadcast from Vriloden number 22. The Aldebaran space cruisers are coming closer quickly. Impressive machines. Certainly over 1,000 meters long. They are gigantic, but strangely don't look as alien as we had imagined. They remind us of our V2S, although they don't have rocket engines, and of course they look different. What seems almost homely to us up close are the rows of illuminated windows. There is something about them that immediately promises coziness. Somehow like a heated house on a winter's night, if one can be poetic. The crew is in a very good mood. The former submarine men on board compare the moment to a meeting on the high seas, and that is exactly what it is. One line destroyed? We are taken between the two Aldebarans. Their space cruisers are painted dove blue, light blue and purple. A kind of half decoration and half camouflage paint. The Aldebaranian insignia are black and silver. The flagship turns its broadside towards us. A large hatch is opened in the rear third of the hull. We steer straight in. Strangely enough, the great excitement of meeting people from another star world for the first time is not there at all. We have the feeling that we already know each other. Miss 30 is in contact with an Aldebaran woman on board the flagship. Everything goes incredibly smoothly and easily. A yellowish light burns behind the hatch. Our Odin lands on the landing area. Inside, which seems to be made of sandstone, the hatch closes behind us. No one is to be seen. Strong red lights light up in two of the walls that now surround us. The captain says that everything has been agreed transmedially, and that as long as the red lights are lit, there is still no air. It takes about 5 minutes, which seems very long to us. Then the red lights go out and a fairly large door with a curved top opens in the wall to our left. People come in as if this moment were nothing out of the ordinary. There are 8 Aldebarans. They really are people. They look almost like us. Perhaps a little taller, slimmer and paler. Their clothes look rather old-fashioned, like what you imagine in utopian novels. Almost a bit like warriors from ancient times. Here too, we notice decorations. The Aldebarans seem to have modern technology in ornate casings. But they are not Baroque shapes, but rather those that are reminiscent of the decorative work and carvings of the Germanic tribes. The Aldebarans wave us out. There is also a girl among them, who has come with a group of probably a dozen people. The girl is very delicately built. She almost seems like a child among the men. Now more Aldebarans arrive. We squeeze down one by one through our hatch tube. The captain first, followed by Ostf. 30. We are greeted, J. To our great surprise, at least 3 of the Aldebarans speak our language. So we are greeted. The Aldebaran officer who seems to be in command of this area of the spaceship assures us that our Odin is being well looked after. He cannot speak German, however, so the young girl translates for him. She is very pretty, although she seems a little strange to us. Her hair is bright red and surprisingly long. The men seem less strange to us. Most of them are light blonde, some are dark. They're long, narrow and, to our perception, pale faces are striking. The girl also looks pale, but her skull is not as elongated. One line illegible, we already knew through transmedia contacts that the difference between men and women of the Aldebaran race is greater than with us. Nevertheless, the Aldebarans could be identified to be a direct branch of the Germanic race. When you consider the enormous spatial and developmental distances between them and us, the similarity is quite astonishing. The difference is then more evident in their manner than in their appearance. They do not seem to be as lively as we are, they appear very calm and dignified. But we cannot yet judge that properly. Odin's flight was successful. Now our brave vehicle is being flown in the belly of a gigantic Aldebaran spaceship to the home world of the Aldebarans. The crew of Vjtlodin has entrusted itself to the hospitality of the Aldebaran Empire of Sumeran and, as far as can be seen at the moment, will move into temporary quarters on the world of Suma, where a hangar will also be available for our spaceship Odin. Captain 30 will stay with the crew. Ostv. 30 and Dr. 30 will discuss the measures necessary for the UAA. Our stay under Aldebaranian auspices will probably last several months, maybe even years. Much still seems unclear. However, the goodwill of the Aldebarans is evident. We can say that we have found friends here. Transmedia broadcast from Vjtlodin number 23. Dot Captain Hleder explains a few things to us about the design, armament and combat technology of his flagship. The little girl translates everything. We feel like kings. This one battleship alone could conquer the whole Earth. Approximately 10 lines illegible, we are now flying past a group of Aldebaranian battleships coming towards us. Seeing this is a great feeling. We can already imagine how we will return home with them. Thank all the good gods. Transmedia broadcast from Vjtlodin number 24. 30 after leaving the dimensional channel. Vjtlodin has found quarters on an old but picturesque space, air and seaport called Ogatdan, which belongs to the Ogatjuand region, a historically significant large island northwest of the large island of Shushadin. A long time ago, the emperors of the former Aldebaran Universal Empire had their palaces here. The ruins of the old capital Maltre can still be found. Ogatdan belongs to the Sushkaran sphere of influence. The Odin crew, who have moved into very pleasant quarters at Ogatdan, are not subject to any restrictions. They can fly around with Odin as they please. We have also been offered an Aldebaranian aircraft. However, the crew persuaded the captain to accept the Sushkaran people's offer to tinker around with our Odin to make some improvements, nowadays called tuning, ADV. There is a small port town called Alda on the nearby large island of Shushadin. There is also a kind of special workshop of the Sushkar clan, their Wokden, with whom we have become close friends. Here our Odin is now being thoroughly rebuilt and improved. The Sushkars are different from the Aldebarans. They are a special caste of traders and warriors and live a lot on large spaceships. They also have their own costume, in which girls and women are allowed to have short skirts and short hair, because both are otherwise considered indecent. They also have their own main deity, the goddess Leela, whereas Melek is usually the main god and the main goddess is called Orpha. The Sushkars are much more fun people than the other Sumerans. Life here is completely easy. No one could imagine this on Earth. It is possible that, if our stay on Suma lasts longer, we will take part in a hunting cruiser operation and test Odin's new abilities. The captain is already on board a large battle cruiser, which is staying nearby. It looks like everything is going very well. We just can't quite keep up with the strange piety of the Aldebarans. Their gods and goddesses are extremely important to them and they have no doubts about their faith. There is a kind of universal spirit super god, and then many goddesses and gods. The religion is not entirely uniform. Transmedia broadcast by Vrilodin number 25. We saw a so-called free prince land with his flagship. It was like a visit from a space sultan from 1001 nights. Completely different from the down-to-earth Aldebarans. You get the impression that there are still many strange things here. For example, that animals run around freely everywhere. Nobody eats meat here. The animals are very trusting. Probably everything comes from a source of creation. There are many similarities with Earth, and nothing is really completely alien. Transmedia broadcast from Vrilodin number 26. The Aldebarans have given us a brand new spaceship. It is a light cruiser that you can do pretty much anything with. Our Odin is not supposed to be exposed to unnecessary dangers because it is a historical piece, approximately 5 lines destroyed. We have become accustomed to the way of life here. The women in particular settle in easily. They can cope with everything. The men like to stay with the Sushkas. Transmedia broadcast from Vrilodin number 2730. This is my last transmedia message. Our bosses have ordered that no more wild transmeds are to be sent, but only organized by 30. And these were some excerpts from the transmedia announcements, which also correspond to Karen and Raina's experiences. Around a year and a half ago, Karen and her older daughter Sandra had a visual image of two beings in front of their eyes at the same time while awake. They were different beings, apparently male, who only differed minimally from one another. Karen described hers as follows. "This sight was very moving, it will stay in my memory forever. Those eyes, that fine, delicate, pale face. His eyes were large, slightly slanted, green with an expression of calm, dignity and knowledge. His face was narrow, long and wrinkle-free. His skin as light as porcelain. His mouth was very small and a bright red, his nose narrow. His hair was long, bare, the color of golden wheat, indescribably beautiful and unforgettable in memory." Chandra experienced the same thing. This being had long, brown hair, also combed back from his face, dark eyes and otherwise looked exactly the same as my mother's description. Later, when Raina had a drawing of the commander made based on his descriptions, Karen and Chandra explained that the beings they had seen resembled the being in his drawing. Karen also saw the landscape and the mountains and the animals that lived there in a vision. The mountains were red, the Russian white. Overall, the colors were different from those on Earth, according to her description, a strange violet, but also a different blue and green. There were also strange animals there, similar to ours, but different, friendly and trusting. During Raina's last hypnosis session, he was shown a botanical garden with very strange plants, which were clearly different in their color combination from the plants on Earth, predominantly blue leaves. In the middle of the garden was a fountain decorated with what I would describe as animal heads, which on Earth could be dated to the Middle Ages, see drawings in the picture section. Raina still has these images and impressions clearly in his mind. They confirm the parallels to the transmedia protocols from Germany in the 1920s to 1940s, since he had the hypnosis session carried out in October 1996, but the meeting with Mr. X, where they got these insights, only took place in November 1996. It no longer seems like a coincidence that the entire family, whether through physical experiences, dreams, meditations or hypnotic regressions, is confronted with images and experiences which, through their parallels with the documents of the Vril Society, unmistakably indicate that they are in contact with these Aldebaranians. Picture Vrilodin shortly before takeoff in the watercolor painting of an alleged eyewitness. Excerpt from a star map with the Aldebaran solar system in the constellation of Taurus. Chapter 16, Technical Explanations of the Flight in the Dimensional Channel. By Mr. X, according to the reports listed here, UFOs were flown to Aldebaran to get help for the Earth. According to the data provided, the Aldebaranian extraterrestrials should arrive very soon, probably before the turn of the millennium, if the mission was successful. in terms of the present time on Earth, at the end of the age of Pisces, the high point and final point of the Kali Yuga, the age of darkness, after a great bang a new age of light follows, the age of Aquarius, more correctly in Babylonian interpretation, the age of the water jar. This is what the revelation scriptures and prophecies of all peoples and cultures say. And a power and a leader are always expected who will defeat the forces of darkness, cleanse the earth and heal its wounds. In Christianity the motif can be found in the Perseus speeches, most clearly in Matthew 24.30, the Indians expect Kalki Avatara, the Mesopotamians expect the third Sargon, the Germanic tribes the strong one from above, the Hopi Indians the true white brother and so on. In the Sagehaha revelation, for example, it says about the third Sargon. He will come from midnight. According to this revelation, Germany is the land of the midnight mountain. He will suddenly break in upon the earthly world living in poison. He will shake everything with one blow and his power will be invincible. He will not ask anyone, he will know everything. A group of upright people will be around him. The third Sargon will give them the light and they will shine on the world. And the righteous will wade in the corrupted blood of the slaughtered unrighteous. Until the work is done, the fires of destruction will burn from one end of the earth to the other. Only the truth will remain. And in Matthew 24.2931 we read, the coming of the Son of Man immediately after the tribulation of those times the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not give its light, and the stars will fall from heaven, possibly the pole shift, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. And then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven. And then all the tribes of the earth will mourn and see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory, and he will send out his angels with a loud trumpet call, and they will gather his chosen ones from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other. It is possible that these descriptions could be the intervention of extraterrestrial civilizations, perhaps even the Aldebarans. Let us now look at some technical data about the dimensional channel, which could provide information about why the Aldebarans would be able to arrive in our solar system with a huge armada of large spaceships in the next few years, independently of the Aldebarans already active on a small scale here on Earth and the Moon. Regarding Aldebaran, it must be added that the Aldebaran solar system is 68 light years away from Earth. First, some data about the spaceship Odin. It was an interstellar long-distance spaceship, a light long-distance space cruiser. Diameter, 45 meters, height, 15 meters, two-story spaceship pilot and passenger cell on top. Drive. Engine Y7/O horizontal diameter 38 meters with SM levitator E24V and Y oscillating bell. Adjustable height 140 cm, width 30 by 7090 by 30 cm, control. Magnetic field impulsor 4A. Speed. In the Earth's atmosphere approximately 8,000 km per hour. Almost the speed of light approximately 300,000 km per second in normal cosmic anti-gravity spaceflight. 3 times the speed of light approximately 900,000 km per second, that is approximately 3 times the speed of light in extra-spatial dimension channel flight. Range. Theoretically unlimited, in practice the planned maximum was 68 light years equals approximately 640 trillion km equals 64XL013 km equals distance to Aldebaran in the constellation Taurus with a few weeks of onboard time and 22.5 years of Earth universe time. According to the traditional media report, Odin and his crew arrived in good health in the distant solar system of Aldebaran and landed there on the planet Summa, a planet very similar to Earth and only slightly smaller than our Earth. The media contact between the Vril Society's media who remained on Earth and their colleagues on the interstellar spaceship Odin lasted until around 2 years after the German spaceship landed on Summa. Around the beginning of 1947, the media contact abruptly broke off. The reason remains unknown. It is also unknown whether such media contact could be resumed at some point later.